Good morning, everyone. We are indeed a day after the elections here in Israel, and I can well imagine that there's people around the table that got what they wanted, people that didn't get what they wanted. And if you recall, the last time we met, we dealt exactly with that issue of the fact that there isn't two people that think alike. And Halacha recognizes that. As a matter of fact, Halacha recognizes that. As a matter of fact, if Bruce disagrees with me, he has to take a line out of the Gemara that says that just like their faces are not alike, so too their minds don't work alike. So if you'd like to take that line out of the Gemara, Bruce, you can deal with the Apikorsa that goes with it. But I want to remain faithful to the words of our sages. I'm sure you don't. It's probably the whiskey. In any case, the truth of the matter is, it's just Chivas. Okay.
It's Yossi's 12th
wedding. Mazel tov. Many more. Many more. Many year. The pasuk. We're going to continue on this issue and talk about having your own way in the worship of God. If you recall, on Wednesday of last week, we said we're all bound by the halacha. Having said that, there is room for diversity within the halacha. I gave you the analogy of a picture frame. The picture frame remains the same. The picture frame is the halacha. How you paint the picture is, of course, up to you. So the picture has to meet the frame. You can't have a picture that's too big or too small. So obviously, if in your picture there's going to be an element of not keeping Shabbos, not keeping Kashrus, taking out laws from the Gemara, laws from the halacha, then obviously it's not going to fit the picture frame. But if it does pick the picture frame, there's obviously room for diversity. I want to go a step further today and talk about the fact that, in my humble opinion, everyone has to find their way as they indeed worship God. Again, we're all bound by the halacha. But if you sing Zmiros around your Shabbos table versus saying Divrei Torah, versus saying less Zmiros, more Divrei Torah, less Zmiros, white tablecloth, pink tablecloth, and all these wonderful, important issues that come up, I think it's very, very important to understand that all of these are part and parcel of being a serious Jew. If you're serious about your Judaism, you will deal with these questions. If you take Judaism as a haphazard, non-important issue, then you just do what everyone else does, but it means nothing to you. If it means something to you, then you're going to be very pedantic as to how it's going to be. If Shabbos doesn't mean too much for you, then you don't care if it's white, if it's pink, as long as whatever the books say I did, and that's fine. How many people around the table heard of the Gruff? How many people around the table can tell me if the Gruff liked or didn't like the Hasidim that began in his time?
He didn't like the Hasidim.
He did not. He fought them tooth and nail.
The Hasidut
is the word that we use in halacha for people that are very pious. Hasidim is a movement. Now, having said that, I want you to listen to the words of the Gra in his interpretation to the book of Mishlei, one of the 24 books of the Bible. I don't take anything for granted. Does everyone know what the Bible is, Tanakh? Have you heard of it? Yes. Everyone knows there's 24 books in the Tanakh, and one of them is Mishlei, known as Proverbs. Very good. Yesterday was a day off. I don't know how awake you are. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ki pa'al Hashem lemahaneyu. God did what he did for you. Says the Gro. What does it mean, God did what he did for you? Ki lechol adam ve'adam yesh lo derech bifnei atzmo lilech ba. Every single person has a way that he's supposed to go. Everybody's different. So obviously, everyone walks differently. Some walk fast, some walk slow. Some wear a white shirt, some wear a pink shirt, some wear a blue shirt. Obviously, we're not the same. Now he says something interesting. When there were prophets around, and we wanted to know, do we vote for this party or that party? There was a direct conduit to God. You asked the prophet. The prophet asked God. God told you what to do, and you did it. We don't have prophecy today. So what do we do today? What do you mean it's not true?
I heard that one so-called Sephardi Haredi party had a direct line to Od Yosef Chaim, told them how to vote. And I even saw a poster of him up in heaven looking down saying how to vote.
How did he say to vote?
He said to vote for Shas.
Who is this?
This is Rabbi Abadi Yosef on the Shalom. So they have a direct line.
I won't comment on the SMS from heaven that was pushed around yesterday. All I'll say is that I will just throw out a comment without translating. Whoever knows what it means will know. Whoever doesn't, Pasuk and Sefer Devarim, Shoel Ol V'Yidoni V'Doresh Et Hamidim, V'Doresh El Hamitim, Ki To'avat Hashem Kol Osei Eile, Uva Liglal Osei Eile, Hashem Egolokecha. I won't finish the Pasuk. You could see what the punishment is. I'll leave it at that. Now, getting back to this story, there's no nevuah today. So says the Gra, there's no nevuah today, so you don't know. What is your particular calling? Is it to be a doctor or a lawyer? Is it to be a stay-home dad or a guy who goes out to work? We don't know. So therefore, says the Gra, today, Ikar Ratzon Hashem Mi HaTorah VaMitzvot. When there was Ruach HaKodesh and there was a Navi, you can ask him what to do. But today, all you have is what? The Torah and the mitzvot. Beyond that, you really don't know. You really don't know. Any rabbi that comes out and says, vote for a particular party, the best he can do is say, I think. He cannot say for sure. He can do his best to say, I'm 99.9% positive. But sure, we don't have a Navi today. And therefore, for people today to say, I'm doing what I'm doing, l'shem shamayim, I'm doing what I'm doing because the Torah said so, it's not only the height of haughtiness, it's the height of stupidity. Because there is no Nevi'im today. To come along in areas that are not Torah and mitzvot related, and go along and say, this is the way to go. Without a Navi, you can never say it for sure. All you have today is Torah and mitzvot. Rav Kook comes along and says that even though this is true, Rav Kook says a person has to find his own way in the worship of God. As a matter of fact, Rav Kook even talks about what happens if you don't walk in the way that's suited for you. If your parents said, be a doctor, but you don't want to be a doctor, but you did it because your parents forced you, they put pressure on you, you couldn't stand it. What is the price you pay? And I want you to listen carefully to his words. Kol adam tzarich ladat. Every single person has to know. A person has to be attentive to what his soul and what himself is telling him to do. In this world, and in this world, he'll find the treasure that is suitable for him. I'm just going to add in parentheses that this reminds me of another famous line from Rav Kook that Rav Soloveitchik actually quoted. Even though he didn't know Rav Kook, this line he quoted from the Vidui after the Vidui of Yom Kippur. Elokai, at shelo notzarti inikedai. My God, until I was born, I was a nothing. What does that mean? This is not a trick question. Just spit it out.
He wasn't anything.
He wasn't anything because he wasn't born, and thus he's nothing. Makes perfect sense. Atkan. V'achshav shenotzarti, but now that I've been created, ki'ilu lo notzarti. It's as if I'm not created. Explain, Rav Kook, what does that mean? You're here, you're alive, you're breathing. You can be arrested for desecration of taking oxygen. What does it mean you're not created? Says Rav Kook, it means the following. If you were created to be a doctor, and you didn't want to go to medical school, you didn't want to go that way, but that's what your heart, your soul, destined you to do. And you went ahead and became an accountant. And you're okay with it. You make a living. But happy you're not, satisfied you're not, says Rav Kook, it's ke'ilu lo notzarti, you're wasting your life. Year after year after year, you could be doing all the Torah and mitzvot in the world. All the vidui al chet we just said on Yom Kippur, could be irrelevant for you. I doubt it, but let's assume. But when it comes along to what is your calling in life, you could be 35, 37, 47, 57, it could have been you've been wasting 57 years. It's as if you weren't created. Yes.
Where is that?
In his sitter. in the Perush of Rav Kook to the Siddur. You can find that beautiful line. And as a matter of fact, Rav Soloveitchik liked to quote it as well. Even though, again, he wasn't proficient in Rav Kook's writings. He was a contemporary of Rav Kook. But that line, he quoted. They both said exactly the same thing. If you want to email me privately, I can send you the two sources without a problem. No problem.
The last sentence you said, about 57?
You could be 57 years old, making a living, having a family, but if you're not doing what you were made to do, it's ke'ilu lo notzarti. And sometimes we're doing it, 50%, 70%, 80%. We're not getting to the 100%. And that's exactly part of the vidui of Yom Kippur. And if you look at the vidui of Yom Kippur, it's not just about the mitzvot or the averos I done. It's about not fulfilling your destiny here on earth, whatever it might be.
How can somebody be sure what
you
his way?
You can never be sure. That's how
only
we started.
By being connected to the Torah.
As much as you can.
The guide for life.
Exactly. We said we started this year that we have no Nevi'im today, so we don't know for sure. But we do our best. So when we say that line, we have to say, I'm doing my ultimate best to fulfill my destiny in life. And therefore, says Rav Kook in this beautiful passage here, that ultimately, if you don't do what your heart desires, if you don't do what you're destined to do, then ultimately, what's the price you're going to pay? What do you say? Says Rav Kook, Gadol an v'tanit zo ma'asheret hi et ha'adam. It makes a person happy. It makes the person satisfied. It gives you joy. It's wonderful. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. U'min v'yato l'shlemut ha'elyona ha'omedet o'mechakelo. U'v'yoto tzoed b'derech chayim tucha zo b'masul ha'miyuchad b'orech tzadikim ha'miyuchad shelo. Yemale gvurot chayim v'aliza ruchanit v'or Hashem alav yigale m'ha'ot ha'miyuchad shelo b'atorah yetzelo. So Rav Kook ultimately says a person has to find his way in life, because if not, if you just mimic someone else, maybe you're not doing what you were destined to do. And eventually you pay a price for that. How many people do we know, when springtime comes, all of a sudden have what's called a midlife crisis? Does anyone ever think about what that means? What does it mean, a midlife crisis? I understand if you're not married ever, and you never had kids, and you're already 47, and the time is ticking away. Okay, I can understand your crisis. That's not a midlife crisis. That's a crisis that's ongoing. What's a midlife crisis, typically?
When the neshama doesn't get what it needs, so you live like a materialist life, and it gets to a point that the neshama, kind of can't anymore. It's like the body's broken.
Exactly.
And you don't have an answer.
Ultimately,
you can be a scientist, you can be a genius, you have no answer.
You can have money in the bank, children in schools, wonderful good kids, high marks, a wonderful wife, a home, but something's bothering you. That's called the midlife crisis. That's exactly what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about here today. Because if you put people in a straitjacket and say you have to be this way and everyone has to be alike, dress alike, think alike, and you're going to pay the price. Because eventually that crisis is going to come because you're not like your neighbor. More than that, my Rebbe Rav Amital explained in his book on page 58 that if you understand this, there's no such thing as competition in the world. What's competition by definition?
If you want to be like the other.
You want to be like your neighbor. He has a bigger car, you want that bigger car. Well, ultimately, if you're not destined for that, then obviously there's no competition. I'll give you an example. If a person watches a lot of TV, he wants a nice, plasma, straight, beautiful, flat-screen TV. That's what he needs. Whether it's a good thing, a bad thing, leave that aside, that's what he needs. If you watch TV once a week, maybe, or you watch the news once a day, maybe, you don't need that fancy TV. Now, if competition is in the world, then you're going to say, well, if he has it, I want it. But maybe it's not for you. You don't watch TV. You're not into that. I'll give you another example. A guy comes up to you and says, I just bought this beautiful new computer. It works so fast. I can do all my graphic design on it. And also edit movies on it. And what do you use the computer for? You use the computer to check your emails, Perhaps you check the news, and maybe, you actually write a document on it. You don't need that computer. That's not for you. It wasn't created for you. You need the simple computer made in a dumpster somewhere that ultimately does what you need it to do. Every person has a calling. Every person has a goal. Every person has his job in life. And we were put on earth on purpose, not by mistake, to fulfill that job. And we have to find out what it is and walk in that path. If all we do is look at our neighbors and say, why don't you be like him? And we look at, why don't you be like him? Then there's something wrong. Now, I have to say, if you look at your neighbor and you say, he looks so happy, why aren't I happy? I think that's a wonderful thing. But you cannot go ahead and run your life by the way the other people run it. And you can't go ahead and be blinded by certain people, even if they look like rabbis, smell like rabbis, think like rabbis, who go ahead and say, in the name of the Torah, you must vote X. How do they know what the Torah said? The Torah didn't talk about the elections of 2015. You do your ultimate best and you say, what is the best thing for the Jewish people in my opinion? And that's the letter you put in to the ballot box. I recall years ago, I don't know which election campaign, where a day after the elections, the wife voted for a different party than the husband divorced her. And he would not go back on it. And they tried and they tried. It was like 3 years later, 4 years, he wouldn't do it. Well, what's good for me may not be good for my wife. That's okay. She's a woman, I'm a man. We're different by definition, whether we like it or not. The miracle is men and women love each other, build homes together. But by definition, they're different. How do I know they're different? Yesterday, I went into a pharmacy. There was a row for men's stuff that you buy in the pharmacy. And there was a row for women's stuff that you buy in the pharmacy. They didn't say this was a unisex line. Obviously, we have different needs. We're different. So going ahead and saying in the name of the Torah, put everyone in a straitjacket. Everyone should think alike. Eventually, you're going to have that midlife crisis because it's not for you. So therefore, just to finish this particular idea, Rav Kook is very, very adamant that ultimately, if you go ahead and have a calling and you don't go after that calling, you are ultimately going to suffer because of it. And therefore, there's going to be things that are missed. Either you're going to waste your time here on earth, God forbid, or even less than that, you just won't be happy with who you are, what you're doing, and how you're running your life. There's something that's missing there. And if it's missing and you're sad and you're angry about it, then it's a good thing, because hopefully you'll do everything possible to fill it in and to rectify it. Yes?
Two things. Number one, I used to do a little bit of counseling in a high school. And it was a high school that was a Lithuanian Haredi Talis High School in Cleveland. And there was a serious problem that the boys were told, you know, you have to do X, Y, Z. If you go to college, you're a bum. They actually use that term. And if you don't do these things, all right, so you'll make money and you'll be good to us, you'll support us, and somehow or other we'll pray for you. Kind of attitude. It caused a lot of anguish because not all of the boys, even if they came from rabbinic families, wanted to go into teaching as rabbis. And I found that Tells and other yeshivas of that
are
sort
I rather
created
not.
Branches in places where there was no need, like in the Midwest and cities where they had to bring people in because there were no local boys who wanted or needed that kind of schooling, and it was problematic. In other words, they created a system
okay. That
had to continue to build,
Rabbi Lewis,
and it caused all kinds of problems.
Okay, Rabbi Lewis, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was about to say it, and I'm just going to end with exactly what you said. Thank God we're living in 2015, where in the religious world, we have, at least in Israel, many high schools that are meant for different kinds of people. There's high schools that are music-oriented high schools. There's high schools that are basketball-oriented high schools. There's high schools that are science-oriented high schools. Yeah. And the truth is, they're all Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Kashrus. They all keep halacha, kalakeh b'chamura. We have, thank God, gone a long way since the time that you have advised these people in high schools. And I have to admit, it wasn't so long ago, because I recall that very same thing when I was in high school. There was a certain way that was called success, and anything under that was called a failure. A big failure, a small failure, a little failure. You know, every Jewish boy was supposed to be one of three things: a doctor, a lawyer, or a finance advisor. Well, what are you going to do? If, God forbid, lo aleinu, we shouldn't hear of terrible news, he became a rabbi, you had to sit shiva for him. That was considered terrible.
No,
you know that. It's not a good job for a Jewish boy. So you put everyone in a straitjacket, regardless of who the kid was, what he was capable of doing, what his heart is telling him to do, and you ultimately went ahead. So thank God we've come a long way, in the words of Rav Kook, that was written in the 30s and the 20s of the last century, are now actually being implemented. And I'll just end with two more lines from Rav Kook, from two more passages. In the book, you can find it on pages 58 and 59, where he says basically that if your soul is a singing soul, then that ultimately you have to write poetry, and that's what you need to do. On the other hand, if your soul is a more analytical soul, then you have to learn halacha and learn lamdas, and that's where you're going to find your calling. And so too with regard to other things in life. Every person is different. And therefore, we have to stop thinking as if there is an ultimate way a Jew has to be, and anything that's not like that is ultimately we have to engage in apologetics. What's good for the goose is not good for
the gander.
And I can't find a better way to end this year.